Hello, this is Catherine Nelson Riley with The Right Club, and I'm here with our host, Laurel Simmons. Today, we've got part two of the Drew Toth interview, and let me tell you, it was such fascinating information for both part one and part two, thinking outside the box where some trends are for some development that, well, we just needed to have a part two. So, Laurel, what did you think?
I thought it was great. Lots of information. Grab a notebook, grab a pen if you can, and take some notes because it may very well help you make a decision about what you want to do in terms of your real estate investing career. So let's go to the interview. But before we do, we just want to remind you, go to www.therightclub.com where you can sign up for free and get all kinds of great information. We have thousands of hours of content there for you so you can dive in and find what you need. So now, Catherine, let's go to the interview.
Welcome to the Right Club Podcast, where the focus is on helping you, the real estate investor, advance to the next level. And now let's join this week's hosts and share ways for you to customize your life.
Well, I mean, I keep an eye on what's going on in the States because obviously what happens there affects us, right? And they have said that they expect the Fed to drop the rates there. I think that's a good thing because we do tend to follow suit. However, I just want to throw something in here, and I just want your opinion on this. I sometimes wonder if we are heading towards a more European model of interest and mortgages, because they have 100-year mortgages over there, right? They're multi-generational mortgages. So when someone buys a home, that home might be mortgaged for 100 years and the generations will stay there and pay it off. Do you think we'll ever see anything like that here?
Yeah, great thought. And it's something that we talk about actually, because if what I'm saying comes to pass, that this new cost of housing was here to stay, then what are the key drivers that we can move to help get more people into housing? And of course, the government knows that needs to happen. Investors know it needs to happen, right? As a society, we know we need to maintain this. So yeah, I believe that is a option. And I believe that extending amortization is something that would help. I think that it's a driver that could reduce the demand on rental and help more people get into home ownership. And let me tell you about little things that I'm seeing that are hinting this multi-generational direction. We're starting to see builders build multi-generational houses specifically for 2 to 3 families. It's happening here in the Niagara region. The Culinary family that owns Pinewood Homes has developed a beautiful model to do this because they're recognizing that this is already happening and there's a need for it now and it'll probably grow. It's interesting. When I was 19 years old, I used to sell insurance to unions and I would go and deliver these policies. And I remember I was servicing the Stony Creek area, Stony Creek, Ontario, and I would go to these beautiful homes that were newly built and there would be 3 families living. There would be immigrant families living in this home and there's 3 generations. And it's quite normal, but they were living well in beautiful homes, newly built homes, but 3 generations in order to afford it and get their hit the ground running. And that stuck with me. And I thought, you know what? More and more, I think anecdotally to the listeners, to yourself, we can look to our own networks and think of friends or family members that are living together multi-generational now. And I haven't personally seen this, but I've read it in the newspaper where people, friends, are living together and co-signing on mortgages to make it work. And I think that's going to happen more and more. I've also started to see people building models where they call it the Golden Girls model, where seniors that may be widows or singles are moving in together and are sharing rental or sharing mortgage on homes. They're making it work. So their house that they're living is nicer because they're going together because of the push of affordability. They say necessity is the mother of all invention. And I think we as humans do what it takes. to make it happen and that we will. And these are some of the ways that we're seeing people get creative. And I want to go back on that multi-generational home model. Like, they've basically built a triplex that has some separate living quarters and some shared, right? Because, hey, if there's a couple living with their parents, or there's a family living with their parents, or there's grandparents living with middle age and youngers with kids, or whoever that modern family mixes together, people want to have their own space and quiet time and have some spaces that interact. So I think we're going to see more of that. And that's a great idea. And going back to your original comment that sort of spurred that rant, I think that amortization is a factor that could be pushed and probably should be. It's a matter of what is that right number. Interesting anecdote. The first home I ever purchased was a 50-year amortization, zero down, backed from CMHC deal. I paid like $5,000 in fees on it, but I got into the market and I rented out two rooms in the basement to students. When that thing worked, I cash flowed. I lived for free. It was great. And think about where that grew, right? I still actually own that house today. And yeah, so I think that is a viable solution. I don't know if the 100-year is the solution. I think we start lower, but I think getting out of the 25 and 30 and increasing it to get more people in the market makes a lot of sense. Or, you know, people need to realize that the investors drive so much of the creation of housing in our country. And the fact is, a lot of the mom and pops investors have been pushed out of this market. And you're hearing a lot going to the USA. I'm hearing about this all the time, because if we can't buy something that cash flows or at least breaks even, for goodness sake, the investment in Ontario, in Canada, for rentals is going to slow down, and the creation of housing. And that's not good for anybody. So if the amortization could be increased where there's some cash flow, now it has to still make sense with debt servicing and cash flow when money in for your total return on investment. But I know a lot of people that have gotten shy because of that negative cash flow they've found themselves in as of recent. So that's another important driver that could happen with amortization. So very good comment.
Possibly. It's a matter of political will. It's a matter of changing a belief system. It's a matter of letting politicians know that these are the issues, because we all say, oh yeah, you know, they might get around to changing it, or they'll never change it, or whatever it is. Do you know what? No one will change anything unless we get off our butts and actually let the elected officials know that this is what we want. That's when change starts to take place. It's as simple as that.
You got it. No, you know what? That's a very important part that people should advocate to counselors, MPs, MPPs. It's just constantly in the press about the issue. And it's becoming more of a necessity, right? More and more, as we're seeing the cost of housing versus the average income and the disparity, like I'm talking about that percentage of what we spend of our income on our housing, it's going to become more and more of a crisis and more of a necessity. So go and advocate with your local MP, your local MPP, et cetera, and give this feedback. It's really important. And we need to have the investor conversation as well. I've seen a lot of negative press about investors and the impact they're having and taking away housing, et cetera. And we need to remember that the majority of housing has been created through investing. I listened to the chief economist and the deputy chief economist of CMHC on their annual report this year, and I was very pleased to hear their important summary. I encourage everybody to listen to it if you can. And they mentioned the key thing about the importance of investors being able to make a return, and the key driver that's going to be in helping solve this housing crisis, create more housing. And I'm just going to, I don't want to beat this too much, but if you own a duplex or a triplex and all of a sudden it's not cash flowing, you're probably going to sell it when those rental units are gone. And it's key. And then are they picking up their money and going to invest in the USA? some of that is happening and it's starting to happen more and more. It's quite concerning to me, not because investors need to go where they're making money. I get that. The concern for me is the fallout on Canada and Ontario. Anyways, which another potential driver that may make this worse instead of better. Anyway, so I'll leave that there. But I did want to circle back to solution-based talk. And it is important to understand the issues and talk about the issues. But I do want to talk about some solutions, some positive stuff, and some cool stuff I'm seeing in the market, some stuff that we're up to, and talk about that for a bit, if that makes sense.
Sure. Go ahead. I think that makes sense because we do need positive stories too. As much as there's negative stuff out there, there's also positive stuff out there. And humans being what we are, we tend to focus on the negative because that's, I think, the protective side of our brain coming out saying, oh no, I got to protect myself. And we look for danger. There's so much opportunity and there's so much positive stuff out there.
You got that good old reptilian part of our brain kicking in survival mode, right? That's caveman you got. Let's talk about that. So it's been interesting to see some folks that are pivoting, looking to new strategies and seeing what is actually working right now. So I'm going to talk about a few sort of higher level things, and then I want to drill down into some key examples. So I guess the higher level thought that I have is I think that we really need to recognize that as much of a supply issue it is, and it is, more units, any type of units is better and is helpful. That is very true. But it's the same. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got. We really need to innovate and look at what we're building, how we're building to be able to make some changes. Because again, it's not just a supply issue. It's definitely affordability issue or attainability issue, whatever you want to call it. So I'm noticing that one major program that a lot of people are talking about and using is the MLI Select program from CMHC. And there's another program, and I can't think of the acronym there. I think it's RFCI program as well. So these programs do go back to what we were talking about. They increase the amortization and the interest rate is matched with the bond rates and the loan to value is much higher. And so this certificate insurance-based program from CMHC is really making rental projects, multi-units, viable and happen. So that's one good thing. Another thing that we're noticing is housing forms. So we talked about it a little bit already, about multi-generational housing, Golden Girls housing, if you will. We really need to, I believe, get out of a lot of the traditional, just single detached, really large square footage production of housing. And that's good. And there's a lot of the market that needs that and can afford that. And it's really good. But more and more, we need to create more multiple forms of housing. So multi-generational housing, Golden Girls housing, shrinking units, making smaller square footage units, not taking away the quality of finishing, the aesthetics of it, but shrinking spaces so that they're very livable, they're good, but they cost less to build. And another thing is in areas, in tertiary markets and secondary markets where it was single detached and townhouses, we need to start building more stacked townhouses. It's very interesting. I pay attention to what new housing is actually moving and sales are happening. There's this one great development that I watched go and move off the shelf really quick. It was in Cambridge and it was stacked townhouses and it was not around 900 square feet selling in the 500 range. And I was like, look at this model. People are buying this still and it sold out because of the price, the quality and what they were getting. And the economics worked because of the land use, because of the size, and because of the density, Okay. And they had a few different models of these stacked townhouses. And I know the stacked towns aren't nothing new, but I feel like we're going to see that housing form be implemented more and more because it works. And another thing that's in the murmurings in my development and builder circles is skinnier and smaller townhouses. We've got to try to hit the 500 and 600 range. I'd love to hit lower than that, but I don't see how we can make it economically viable. But stuff in the 500 and 600 range that's good for people to live in, that's aesthetically pleasing and functional, I believe that we're going to see more and more of that and that we need to. The other thing that I believe we're going to see more and more of in the tertiary markets is more condos, just traditional condos being built. And again, smaller size condos, it's the cost to build and the price that people can afford to. So I think, again, there's going to be more and more of that in the secondary markets. From a rental perspective, it's tougher to make the fourplexes and the sixplexes work. The MLI Select program is definitely helpful. But from our standpoint, the 100 unit size is really something where you start to see more efficiencies work. Right now, we have 129 unit that's just approaching occupancy and completion. We started lease up on it. We have an 84 unit that's going to be completed in August. We have a 28 unit that's wood construction and it's heading to completion in March, April. And we're running economics on new buildings. And I think more and more purpose-built rentals around the 100 unit size, we're going to see more and more because the efficiencies and the economics of those work better. Those partnered with the MLI Select make sense. We are really focused on those. The numbers work. They provide a good unit to end users. There's an affordability component that fits a big demand. There's an energy efficiency component that hits a lot of the bells as well. So these are the positive things that I'm seeing. And they're models that work. They work for the investors. They work for the end users. And you kind of got like early adopters to change. And you've got people in all sorts of that change cycle. I think that we as builders and developers need to start designing this stuff and moving that direction. We've been designing all of our site plans. We've been designing our buildings to start to be catered to exactly what I'm talking about, because we believe that this is a change that's happened and there's not going to be a big shift back. There will be some shift back as interest rates come down, but I believe that we need to really pivot and go to these multiple housing forms, and we need to be creative and innovative on having those come to market in that price range. And some stuff in the 400s and 300s as well. We have micro condo units and some other smaller units that we're bringing to market and some smaller stack condos that we're going to be bringing to market to target in that 300 and 400 range. When those can work for people getting into the market for downsizing and also for investors buying and renting out as well.
It's interesting that you say that because as you're speaking and you know, all these different sort of threads that you're pulling together, it all ties together. And yet it's also part of a bigger picture because you can't have this kind of development. You can't have the multi-generational and, you know, the golden girls and the housing developments that have many more units in them and the smaller square footage without having some, I don't want to say incentive, but some cooperation from the local municipality, which means there has to be cooperation from the provincial, because everything fits together and there has to be encouragement to allow people to do this. It's also partly a cultural shift.
Yes.
Our demographic is shifting as more and more immigrants come in. I think in that sense, it will be a little bit easier because as we get more immigrants coming in, we're not used to the 5,000 square foot monstrosity. I'm not being fair, but you know, the 5,000 square foot home on 2 acres of land, or sometimes maybe a quarter of an acre of land, but they would much rather have the real estate, be able to have these, have their families live together at a much more reasonable price, which also benefits everyone, right? The municipality gets more taxes. The local economy is better. There's an economy of scale. We don't have to expand the infrastructure so much. So there's all kinds of positive things coming out of this.
No, agreed. And it's going to be, you said interesting times. It's going to be very interesting to see these different pieces playing out over the next few years as there shifts. So it's very exciting times. And I think that come around springtime, we're going to see positivity. We're going to see some of these changes. And I think we're going to see the market start picking back up as well. So,
alrighty. So Drew, where can people reach you? Because I'm sure that they, you know, there's going to be people who want to reach out to you and say, hey, can we talk? And what investment opportunities do you have? And there's all kinds of things. So how can they reach you?
Yeah, you know what? We'd love to have a conversation. We have opportunities for people to invest. You can reach me at, first I'll give the website. It's elevateliving.ca and it's elevateliving.ca. The best email to reach out, I will give my direct email. It's Drew, D-R-E-W, at elevateliving.ca. We'd love to have a conversation. We can share with you guys what we're up to. We have tours of our projects on a monthly basis now, and we're starting to have monthly webinars to chat about investment opportunities as well. So if you pop to the website, we'd love to talk to you. Or if you just want to talk market, we're always available and having a passionate discussion about what's going on. So we'd love to hear from you. And we do have a real estate investment trust that's focused on a lot of the strategies and the things that I've been talking about as well. So if people are interested in that, it's RSP, TFSA, registered funds as well. So we're interesting. We're available and can chat about that as well. So,
okay. One last question for you before we go.
Yes.
What are you doing for fun this week?
What am I doing for fun this week? Well, I'll tell you, last week I was in Costa Rica and I had a whole lot of fun. And this week is pretty nose to the grind. We got a tour on Sunday. So the fun this week will be playing Lego with my son. Would I wake up early in the morning? And probably spending some time with my daughter watching a movie. And that's what the fun will look like this week, because I had a lot of it last week. And this week is nose of the grind. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Those little things, they're the most, those are the things you remember. Those are the important things. Like we were saying earlier, the little things, the memories, that's what's important. So anyway, thank you so very much, Drew. It's been fabulous as always. And although it's cold outside, you know what? So what? There's lots of positive things coming our way, and the sun always comes up every day, doesn't it?
You got it. You got it. And it's what we make of it, right? So,
right. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Well, Catherine, I think we should have Drew back again in, oh, I don't know, 6 months, a year, and just see what happens or what has happened since the interview that we did with him today, because he's optimistic about what can happen, what might happen, what he hopes will happen. So I would really like to see, looking back, if any of his predictions have come true.
What I really like about Drew is not only is he optimistic, but he's realistic. And that's important to make sure that you're looking at all the different avenues for things. Really interesting. And I agree. I think that we should absolutely do that.
All right, everyone. Until next time, customize your life. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Right Club podcast, where the focus is on helping all levels of real estate investors advance to the next level and help you customize your life. Be sure to tune in next week at rightclub.com/podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you get a few seconds, please rate the podcast wherever you're listening. It helps the show get noticed by others like you, and we truly appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe.